Church Fathers Athanasius, he said that God became man so that man could become like God. And sometime or another, you got to realize that we are supposed to be holy as he is holy, because we belong to him. Oh, he said, I'm almost done here. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, so that after we've seen that there are pestilent conditions in our life, we have to have a personal connection. But then we have to understand that there's a posture change. Look at this. He says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, there has to be a posture change, because so many times people are proud. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. I'm proud to be Methodist. I'm proud to be Baptist. I'm proud to be a tongue-talking Pentecostal. I'm proud. But at some point, we have to learn how to humble ourselves. He said, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I wish I had somebody. We have to have a posture change, because we're preachers. We can't get in ourselves and say that we are so proud and nobody can't do or say anything to us. Sometimes we're wrong. We got to understand sometimes we're not always right. And I'm not telling you to chastise the preacher, but I'm telling you that we can't get built up in ourselves. Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Won't you turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want to look at a couple familiar verses of Scripture found in verse 14 through 16. Recorded are these words. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. Jesus here in the beginning of his ministry in what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, in this teaching setting, he begins to reveal the reality of who we are in God and who we are as children, our representatives of God. And even as we look at this light, before the light example, he gives us an example of being the salt, which savors. But even as he begins to bring about all of these illustrations that we will find in these next three chapters, it is important to recognize how closely they are related with everyday life experiences. The salt, in some way, shape, or form, affects our lives daily. Light, every day, in some shape or form, affects our lives daily. And it's interesting that he calls us both salt and light. As the Spirit of the Lord impressed upon my heart to minister this word again, this relevant word, this real word, but this familiar word, and perhaps because of its familiarity, most of us have not again begun to understand the deeper principles and the profound impact God expects us to make as he calls us lights. Listen at this. He says, ye are, not ye might be, not ye could be, not I hope you shall be, but it says ye are already. Past tense experience, you already have been given this light. As a born-again believer, you have been lit by Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. Then he makes this analogy. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, this is important because as he again begins to reference now something as large as a city placed up on a hill, the inference here is that when you pass by, being elevated, the city with all of its lights and all of its beauty, etc., cannot be hid because of where it sits and the way that it shines. And as a born-again believer, you have been lit by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been given by the Spirit of the Lord this light to shine in a dark world. One of the things you need to know about light is, first of all, light is necessary for life. The very essence of life is a byproduct of life in its continual function and in its continual flow. There have been studies that have been shown that when the mind, the brain, the body does not get enough light, that it begins and it aids in depression and those things that work against the free-flowing efforts of the mind and the ability to be healthy and bright. It's important because even your skin and your body needs the rays of the sun to actually produce chemical releases in the body to help it in its natural flow. Light is necessary for life. But then light is necessary for us to see our way, especially as we look at a spiritual application of light, because it is in the light of truth that we begin to see our dark sins and our dark nature before Christ regenerates us, before Christ brings us to a state of a born-again experience. It is the light of understanding that helps us to see our way. And then light is the opposite of darkness, which is the domain of sin and Satan himself. And so because light is different from and differs from and is opposite of, it is that same illumination that begins to bring that kind of understanding to the darkness of this world again, and those things that Satan himself holds under his control, darkness, and those things that differ from the truth and the word and the will and the way of God. Light puts out darkness, but darkness cannot put out light. I'll say it again. Light puts out darkness, but darkness cannot put out light. The power of light is more influential in this cosmic world that we live in, and in this natural world, and even in the spiritual world, than you realize. And that's one of the reasons why the enemy does not want the light of your understanding to be fruitful, because if that happens, then he is exposed, because again, light reveals things to us.
How many times have you been in a place where it was somewhat dark or dimly lit and you couldn't see things very clearly, but then light came on? And you were able to physically see some things that you couldn't see before? How many times when the light of your understanding was lit and you were able to understand some things that you had heard before or not understood quite as clear in the Word of God, and then when the light of your understanding was illuminated, you were able to comprehend what it was that thing was that you didn't quite fully understand? Light in so many dimensions bring to us fruitfulness so that we can flow and function in every area of life that God wants us to. Then again, you need to recognize that not only does light reveal things to us, but light shows that sin is a reality in every life that has not been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, which means light gives us the understanding that we need a Savior for our sin. That's one of the reasons why Jesus gives this illustration, and Jesus says to us to let our lights so shine. But before we get there, I want to share with you three things that we want to focus on as it relates to this light. The first thing I think we need to know is the presence of light. The presence of light. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has already said, "You are the light of the world." Wherever you step into a place, into a room, wherever you come into some area, because of who you are and whose you are a light representing God in that place. And your very presence should note that you are someone different from the world. Yeah. Have you ever been in a place when you walked in the room, everybody started looking at you? And it ain't because you had no bad clothes on or you were messed up or didn't look right or whatever the case. And it wasn't because you were all that cute neither. But it was because there was something about you that drew the attention of others. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that light is a presence. That's right. It's a presence. And so whenever you who are lit by the Lord and the Spirit of God enter any place, there's something about you that will draw the attention, especially of those of the world. They know their own and they know those who are not their own. And when your presence enters a place, it can be a business place, it can be a social place, it could be the supermarket, it could be the mall, it could be at the red light. No matter where you are, your very presence commands the attention of this world. Now the question is whether or not you realize the presence that the Lord has given you. You ever watched, again, walked into a place and folks started watching, you got uncomfortable and said, "Why is everybody watching me? What they looking at?" That's because you don't recognize your own presence. The power that God has given you, and he has given it you not so that you can brag on you, boast on you, or focus on you. It is so that you might be able to show others him. So presence is coupled with light that is so important for the believer to understand. Not only is that, because look at what he says again, verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid." Why? Because it's got presence. Couldn't hide it if you wanted to. You are lit of the Lord and your presence commands attention. So you understand that because God is not calling attention to you for no reason. He's calling you as a witness to the things that he has desired to do through you for the kingdom and the benefit of the salvation of others. So again, presence. But you're going to note that presence has its place. Look at what the word says. It says in verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Why? Because the light is in its place. Presence is in its place. Now, this is so important for you to understand that God gives you presence, illumination. But whenever he illuminates you, it is always for his glory and for the good of those to whom he has assigned you to illuminate. Now listen at me well, because I want you to see this. I want you to stick with me. If God has called you into the body of Christ, you are an illumination for him in this dark world. Now let me help you understand this in the context of our natural and everyday occurrences. In one room, you may have lamps, you may have ceiling lights, you might have track lights, you may have other lights. And yet you will discover that sometimes one light, that may be a ceiling light, gives light to the whole room, to the entire room, depending on the wattage of the bulb and depending on the positioning, the place of the light. But wherever it is placed or positioned, its whole design purpose is to give light to that particular area.
Right.
But you might be sitting in a chair to the corner, and the light that gives a general illumination to the room does not give specific illumination on the book you're trying to read. So on the lampstand, or on a lamp that is curved so that you can turn it on and illuminate the book that you're reading, it gives specific light. So that whatever the instrument is, whatever the use of the book or whatever it is that you're using or doing, has been given enough light for you to sufficiently see more clearly what you're doing. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is, it doesn't matter the wattage of the bulb if the thing, the light, the illumination is not in its proper place. It will not illuminate what is designed to illuminate. What I'm trying to tell you is, even though your wattage might be smaller than somebody else's, and you're in the same room with a big light, there still may need be a specific area of illumination necessary that you've been given and assigned to light up. And then if I might go a little bit further, there are lesser lights that are placed in sockets. They call them night lights. Now they're not designed to light up the whole room, just light up a specific area so that in the nighttime you can walk by the trails. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house to see just enough to keep from stumping your foot or running into something. And yet that little light shines with the purpose that it had been designed to shine for, and it doesn't get angry nor upset because it's not the big old bright light that shines in the top of the ceiling. I'm trying to help you understand that your illumination, the wattage God has given you, serves a purpose when you are in your place. And you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, just like little lights in big places don't work right, bright lights in little places don't work too good either. I wish I had a witness here. Because if the light is too bright and the place is too small, you won't still be able to see, because the brightness of the light will blind you.
All right.
Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. That's why, even if you are a bright light, you need to be positioned and placed where God has you assigned.
All right. Yes, sir.
And so God, all through this world, has illuminating lights of all wattages, and all of them in their proper place will do what they've been designed to do, and that was to dispel,
yes, sir,
to dismiss darkness. Every one of those lights' purposes is to illuminate, brighten up the spot, the place where they are. Listen again to what the word says. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. That's the place where it belongs, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In the candlestick, representing your place, your assigned place, where you ought to be, and when you're where you ought to be, it's going to give light to that specific area. But listen here again, because verse 16 gives you the purpose. Verse 15 gave you the place. Verse 14 gave you the presence. But verse 16 gives you the purpose.
Yeah.
Let your light.
Yes, sir.
Now notice it doesn't say what the song says. The song says this little light. Notice the word don't say nothing about the size of the light, but it's speaking about the purpose or the function of the light. So whether you have a little light, a big light, or in between light, a maximum light, a low voltage white light, it don't matter. What matters most of all is that you let your light shine. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, flashlights don't ever function until you turn them on. They will sit in the cabinet, they'll sit in the drawer, they'll sit in the car, in the trunk, in the glove box, wherever it's sitting there, and they wait all of the time for somebody to turn them on. Now listen at this. When it is turned on, the flashlight knows that its only purpose is the shine. And it waits for its opportunity to shine. But look at what else the flashlight knows. The flashlight knows you don't turn him on till you need him. And when you need him, he's expected to do what he does best, and that's to shine in darkness. What I'm trying to say, maybe some of us ought to realize that when the Lord lights us up, it's so that we can, for his glory, shine so that men can see what it is God wants them to see, and a whole lot of them will never see if you don't let your light shine. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. Let your light so shine before men. For what purpose? That they may see. See, darkness fills the room. Darkness fills places, and they don't need no more darkness, and they can't see what is in the darkness unless someone with some light shows up. And so when you are given the position and the place and the presence to illuminate a place, the Lord says, do it. Now, what is the purpose again? It's not to call attention to you. So don't get hooked up on yourself. You've been created to shine. And if you've been created to shine, you are doing less than what you've been created to do as a light when you do not shine. And if light shines best in darkness, and you are in darkness and your light is not shining, then you are not properly representing him who has given you light so that you can illuminate at least where you are. Maybe you cannot light up the whole room. Maybe you cannot light up the whole world, but your little corner in the world where he has placed you is your assignment.
That's right.
Your assignment. Now look at this again. When you shine, men see. Well, what do they see? Your good works. Now, what are good works? I'm glad you asked. Good works are not only things that work good, but they work good according to the word of God. Good works are those things the Lord has assigned us to. They're the things that he's already begun. They're the things that he's ordered and he's authorized and he's assigned us to. Good works are the things that, according to the word of God, are the assignments of the saints.
Yes.
So good works are always those things, and this is an easy way to remember that, that gives God glory.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that brings good to men.
Yes,
that's good works. Now, too many times, because the enemy has hoodwinked us, he has made us disguise and hide and will not, in many cases, allow us with good conscience to illuminate our good works, because with this false sense of humility, we want to act like, well, you know, I don't want nobody to know the good I'm doing. I don't want nobody to see, you know, how I'm a blessing, or I'm doing this, that, and the other. Now, here's what you've got to understand. You've been changed by the Lord. from what you were to what you are. You've been blessed by somebody else to hear the word, to see the light. You've been, again, the vessel, the vehicle through which God has utilized you and brought his valuables to somebody else's life or point of need. And so he expects you, not for yourself, to illuminate the situation so that men may see God at work in you. You. Well, isn't it amazing when you turn on the television how much negative news there is about the darkness of this world, the sin of this world, the people of this world, the things that are not like God of this world that are broadcasted every day, several times a day, different portions of the day about dark, evil things. Where is the light that points to God and says, this is what God is doing. This is what God has done. This is what God is getting ready to do. And we illuminate. Where is the glory that belongs to God for the things that he's already done, the ways he's already made, the doors he's already opened? Where is the light that shines the glory that gives to God what he is due for being the blessing that he is in each and every one of our lives? And when we leave this place and go to our several places, homes and destinations, it is our responsibility, those of us who are lit by the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord, to illuminate where we are and to bring attention to the works that glorify God. See, what you don't understand is the people in darkness are groping for the light. They are looking for some help. They're trying to find out where there is a Savior. They want something better than what they have, but they can't see the light for themselves unless you shine. And so when you think your witness don't mean anything, you better think again. When you think that when the Spirit of the Lord prompts you to tell somebody about Jesus that don't matter, that somebody else will get them, what you don't understand is you could be the last representative that person will see before death, and that could be the last stop between hell and heaven. And so you got to realize, I don't care if they just left church. They could have been sitting next to a hellion that wouldn't let them hear the word, and the Holy Ghost caught you on the job the next day and said, speak a word to them, and they get what you are saying, and the understanding of their minds have been lit by the word of truth, and you bless a soul. You need to know wherever you are and God needs you, you ought to let your light shine. Listen. Let me walk through some word right quick, because I know you understand it, but you don't really seem to be with me here this morning. Come, Psalm 27. Let's walk back through some familiar psalms that many of you know, come up with, grown up with. Psalm 27 and 1. Look at it if you will. And as David speaks here, he says, the Lord is my light. God is my light, my illumination. God is the one who gives me understanding. God is the one who brings me to a place of fruitful thinking. God is the one who reveals stuff to me. God is the one in the dark places where I can't see. He shows me stuff that helps me to not only go, but grow and grow and then glow. God is the one who lights my light up. God, the Lord, is mine. Like, you got to know who the source of your light is. And if the Lord is your light, then there ought not be a reason why you can't shine in the night. Somebody don't hear me here. I ever got to worry about who I am and whose I am when I know that the Lord is my light? Because even though I may be going through some stuff, the fact that I am lit by him means that my source is greater than my sorrows. My source is greater than my troubles. My source is greater than my problems. And sometime he lit me up and put me in a valley so that others around me could see their way out. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes you wonder why God allows you to go through some stuff. I tried to tell you once before, it's not always for you.
You know him, he knows you. You are led by him. He walks with you, talks with you, but there are some other folk around you that don't know him. And you may not even be aware of it, but they are watching you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today.